Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning for this 14th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, reading verses 60 through 69. When they heard it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, "Does this cause you to stumble in your faith? What if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is given to him by my Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus asked the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is our text. "Does this cause you to stumble?" Jesus said. Our old translation said, "Does this offend you?" The Greek word is skandalon. "Does this scandalize you?" Jesus says. Remember that in the Bible, to be offended doesn't mean that you don't like something. To be offended means that your faith is destroyed, which is exactly what happened to these followers of Christ. The Lord does this all the time. It keeps us humble. It keeps us from thinking that we are in control of anything. Who in the ancient world thought that the roles of men and women would cause so many people to leave the church in our day? In more recent years, who would have ever thought that the Bible stance on homosexuality would cause so many to leave the church? The Bible doesn't have these teachings in it because it's popular. The Bible has these teachings because the Bible is the infallible Word of God, which is unchanging and eternal. Also, the Lord wants to see if we'll do it. The Lord wants to see if we are willing to say, "Not my word, O Lord, but your word is what's important." These followers of Jesus were truly offended by his words. Jesus said that he was the bread of life, and that in order to be saved, a person had to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, what Jesus was talking about was the word of God, the one thing needful. He didn't have to say it this harsh, but he did it on purpose. To reveal hearts, to see if people would put their pride and their reason aside and say, "If I don't understand something in the Bible, it's not the Lord's fault. It's my fault. I'm the problem." But so few people are willing to say that. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. If you listen to Jesus with just your ears, it's not going to make any sense. If you read the Word of God with only your eyes, it's just going to look like a bunch of gobbledygook. You need to read and to listen with your soul, with your God-given faith. Only then do Jesus' words come alive. The flesh doesn't help at all. The smarter a man is, the less he knows about the Word of God and salvation. Really, the less he knows about the universe and life. There are really smart guys who can tell you the gravitational pull on the eighth planet from Emery. There are doctors who can stitch together a heart. But these smart men cannot tell you the meaning of life, or where we're headed, or what's it all about. Such simple questions that are easily answered in Jesus are baffling the wise men of this world. The flesh doesn't help at all. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Luther used all of this to craft his explanation to the third article, something that you all learned once upon a time. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. It is only by the Spirit of God that we understand, accept, and believe anything in Holy Scriptures, especially these hard teachings, like the bread of life. But again, that's the point. Jesus asks us to believe what is impossible to believe because it is impossible. And if you do believe it, that's clear evidence that the Lord has already given you his Holy Spirit to make you believe these things. Because the Lord loved you and chose you from before the creation of the world. We should not be surprised that most people in this world want nothing to do with the Lord or with his church. We should not be surprised that those we considered fellow believers walk away from the word and walk away from the worship in God's house. Well, we can be sad, but don't be surprised. Read your Bible. That's what people have always done. My son Jared, at my anniversary party this summer, said that one of the reasons why he's studying for the ministry is that apparently I told him once upon a time that being a pastor means that you have to stay connected to the Word of God. And that was good enough for him. There are so many examples of people that we thought were strong walking away from this life-giving Word, just like these so-called disciples of the Lord Jesus. They heard something that their human reason didn't care for. They heard something come out of the mouth of the Lord that they didn't like, and they decided, I don't need this. I'm going to go it alone. I'm going to do this without the Word of God. I'm going to face life. I'm going to face the world. I'm going to face eternity without Jesus. Well, where's the sense in that? Good luck. Then many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. Can you see them? Scrunching up their faces at Jesus' words, turning around and slowly walking away. Can you see Jesus' face as he's offering these people salvation in his blood? But it's not to their taste. Can you see the disciples with their mouths agape? Whoa. Jesus, stop them! Do something! Then Jesus turns to them. What about you? You do not want to leave too, do you? It sounds like everyone left. It sounds like all 5,000 who ate the fish and the loaves, who wanted to make Jesus their king by force, who followed him all the way around the lake, now suddenly had things to do. Oh, look at the time. Where's that donkey that I parked? They left him, Jesus, and the 12 standing there. You do not want to leave too, do you? did that hurt. They were still standing with him. And if Jesus were not God, we could easily excuse him. We could say, well, Jesus just had a bad day. He said some things that came out wrong, and then he insulted his disciples. But he didn't. He did it all on purpose. He chose his words carefully. The Bread of Life discourse is part of the infallible, unchanging Word of God Almighty. Jesus said it just the way he wanted to. And when people started leaving him, Jesus took a shot, and his faithful disciples. But of course, the Lord Jesus said these things to his disciples to get to their hearts, to help them search their souls, to make them understand for themselves where they stood. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Good old Peter. He got another one right. Peter got so many of them wrong that we just love it when he gets one right. Speaking for the disciples, or for the 11 at least, Peter voices their devotion to the only God and Savior that they knew. Jesus' words, Peter says, even if they didn't make much sense to him, were the words of eternal life. People in our day mock faith. They say that you shouldn't get too devoted to one thing wholeheartedly. You should reserve a little bit. But Peter is the best example of blind faith. But really, it's not blind. Peter says that he knew that Jesus is the Holy One of God, that is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior for his soul. He knew that. But if we think that we don't understand everything that Jesus said, put yourself in Peter's shoes for a little bit. We have God's word written down in our Bibles, and we can study that anytime we want, our whole lives long. Plus, we've had hundreds of years of really smart guys, wise men, who wrote papers and books on these topics to help us understand. But the disciples, we're hearing these things in real time, with distractions all around them. And Jesus was just spouting out universal truths, one after the other. The disciples didn't catch them all. How could they catch any? How many times didn't they take Jesus behind closed doors and say, Jesus, what in the world were you talking about? But that's all right. As Jesus said, the Father gave them the Holy Spirit so that even if they didn't catch every word, they still believed that Jesus was the Christ. And the Spirit would explain it to them over time. And the Father would keep them tightly held in his gracious hand. For they believed, as you do, that Jesus is the Holy One of God. So whatever mocking comes, whatever scandal, whatever stumbling, whatever temptation comes in your flesh, whatever sin you end up committing, remember that your salvation really has nothing to do with you, but rather it is given to you by your Father. That's why you're here listening. That's your peace in the night. That's your joy in the daytime. God chose you and has given you his Holy Spirit to believe the words of eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.